Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As of last week, there was an 80-year-old senior living in his car. According to Debbie Wood, an intensive housing support worker with the Help Center, she's not quite sure where he is. Last time she spoke with him, he was told he could not sleep in his car where he had parked. He had moved on, so he had decided to go deeper into hiding where nobody would bother him. Today's show looks at the struggles of seniors. It looks at the growing number of homeless seniors there are in Northumberland County. Debbie Wood will tell us all about it. Close to half her caseload are seniors facing homelessness. I'm so pleased to have with me today Debbie Wood, an intensive housing support worker with the Help Center. Welcome to Consider This.
Good afternoon, Robert.
You have made presentations before politicians explaining the situation for some seniors who are finding themselves homeless or threatening to become homeless in Northumberland County. Can you give us an overview of what is happening to these people?
All of my seniors are losing their housing due to hot real estate markets, rental evictions. We have a number of investors that have come into our county and bought older apartment buildings, okay? Basically pushing our seniors, many of our residents, out of the rental market because it's no longer affordable. And these people have been, they've been in their homes for anywhere from 5 to 20 plus years. So they're paying, you know, what is a very reasonable rent on their limited incomes. And now they're being faced with what they were paying for rent, say $600 in an apartment, they can't even rent a room. And why should we expect our seniors to be pushed off into a room where they lose their quality of life? Maybe they have pets, senior pets. They have to relinquish them, right? So lots of rental evictions, hot real estate markets, and there was a special, I think it was on the Fifth Estate, and they were talking about people coming in, buying apartment buildings that are, they may need some work. So they're buying them at not a bad price and turning them into luxury condos. You know, that's all through the county. But, you know, we have horror stories in Campbellford with that. So where do we put these people? And the situation is, if a senior becomes homeless, you know, depending on their capacity, their medical issues, their accessibility, transition house is really not the place for them. If there's no rooms in the overflow motel rooms, where do they go? There is nowhere for them to go. And that to me is a major concern. You know, like I talked about this week about two of my senior clients are in cars, okay, sleeping. And that just stresses me beyond.
How many people have come to you recently seeking help?
Okay, so first quarter of the year, okay, I had 6 seniors. So that would be 61 plus age group. Okay. And this last quarter, the last 3 months, I have had 15 new ones come to me. My caseload right now, not just with seniors, but overall, I have 58 clients on my caseloads, and my coworker, Miri, who does housing 2 days a week, I think she said she has 25. And that's just one agency, right?
When you say 25, do you mean 25 seniors or 25 altogether?
No, 25 altogether. So, but out of my 58 clients, I currently have 21 that are seniors.
So almost half your clients are seniors right now that you're dealing with.
Yep. Yes.
Now, just so people understand, because maybe not everybody knows about the Help Center, can you just tell us a little bit about the Help Center and what it is you do at the Help Center and why people come to you?
Okay, so the Help Center is a nonprofit organization funded by United Way, Northumberland. We assist people that are unemployed, the disadvantaged, the vulnerable of Northumberland through our programs. We have a number of really good programs, but people always say, you know, until you need us, you don't know about us, right? But we have, you know, the income tax program that brings a lot of money back into the community. We have the housing program, money management, energy program, partners in learning, seniors program, and the landlord liaison program. So we do a lot for a little agency. We're very focused on our clients. This is my really the first job in the field. I've only been in this field for 4 years. I went back to school at 58 so I could come into this field. And I love it here because we have a great communication. We're very, very good with the clients.
And who funds the Help Center?
Okay, so the United Way Northumberland is our biggest fundraiser, funder. Then the County of Northumberland, I believe they fund 3-4 maybe programs. Yeah.
Now, I'd like to take us back to talking about the seniors. Can you give us some examples, without any identifying details, of what these people are facing? You mentioned briefly that some are sleeping in cars, they don't really know where to go. But can you share with us, again, without identifying, some of the stories, please?
Okay, all of them, not most of them, all of them are on a fixed income. So that would be anywhere from, say, $1,600 to really high end would be $1,800, and there's some that are under $1,600. Seniors were the only group of people during the pandemic that really did not get any support. We expect, you know, everyone to live on $2,000 a month, but seniors, they're not getting, and they, I think there was like a $300 and a $500 payment. Some of them did, right or wrong. Okay, they did collect CERB, and so they're paying for it. Their GIS was cut back. They've just had it reinstated. But so majority of these people live on very limited income. Finding a job back in the workforce, it's not an option for many of them.
Before you go on, you've mentioned a number of terms. And just so to wrap that up, you mentioned GIS, you mentioned some dollar figures. Would you just take a second? I'll bring us back, but just take a second for people who don't understand that terminology and how that works. Could you just explain it, please?
Okay, so when you turn 60, you are eligible, whether you collect it at 60 or not, but the CPP and the pension plan. And then, of course, when you're 65, you get OAS, which is the old age security. And if those two numbers do not bring you up to a certain figure, okay, then you qualify for the guaranteed income supplement, the GIS.
Now, I did interrupt you. You were talking about income, and then you started to talk about jobs and people going out to try and get jobs. Could you pick it up from there, please? Thank you.
Okay, so many of our seniors, it's very hard for them to go back into the workforce because maybe accessibility, medical issues, things like that. And, you know, there's a lot of jobs out there, but do we force them back to the workforce, right? After they have given pretty much all their life to us and the community.
So is there a need for people like that in the workforce? I mean, are employers open to hiring seniors like that?
I think that, you know, there are certain jobs that naming them out there, okay? You know, more so in the retail field or fast foods, which is minimum wage. And if they make too much, then their GIS gets clawed back, right? And so then if you've got someone on ODSP, which is the Ontario Disability Support Program, as a basic income, all they're getting is $1,169 a month. If they're on OW, they get around $734 a month. So, you know, we give everyone $2,000 a month and say this is what is, you know, expected to live on. And yet we expect our seniors and our OW and ODSP recipients to live on this tiny amount of money.
Can you help us better understand some of the things that you've talked about earlier? You referenced them, and I'd like to come back to them. And one of the terms that you used was renovictions.
Yeah.
People might not be aware of what that is. And can you explain a little bit more about how that works and how it impacts the seniors?
Okay, so I can touch on that a bit, but that's more like anything like that. We would refer to our legal center here. But a renoviction is basically evicting people so that landlords can renovate. And some landlords will give tenants $3,000, I don't know, whatever the amount for them to move out of the apartment. And technically they're supposed to, I don't think I want to go on that. Okay. Because I don't know enough about what the laws are with them putting them back in.
I understand. And I know that there is the legal center that is also a partner of yours that I know you probably refer people to. What I am, though, interested in is could you give us a story, again, without identifying details, but just can you tell us a story, maybe about a couple or an individual who has faced this kind of thing, this renoviction, and what they went through? Can you share something like that with us, please?
So we had a number of clients that lived in an old building. An investment firm from Toronto has bought the building, wanting to turn it into luxury condos. The clients all but one took the buyout, and they've, you know, moved in with family if they're lucky enough, most of them have moved in with family. The one that is still left, you know, refuses to take the buyout because the person knows that they're not going to be able to find another place. So So this person is not budging from the apartment. And so that's still going through legal.
You also mentioned that some are sleeping in cars. How many people are in that kind of a situation?
So right now I have two that are sleeping in cars. One is, you know, close to 80 years old. And I, you know, being a young senior, okay, I would never want to find myself in that position. I would never want to find my mother or my grandparents in that situation. So, you know, the two that I have sleeping in cars, they were woken up in the early hours of the morning and told to move on. But unfortunately, where do they move on to? There is nowhere. Okay, so one went deeper into hiding with their car, and the other went to the Port-au-Prince route.
What is the role of a family towards their elderly members?
Oh, that's a hard one. There's families that are stretched themselves, maybe living in a small space with children. Then there's, and these are the heartbreaking stories where there is no support for senior parents from their kids. And as a mother of two sons, I would be devastated if my sons left me to my own accord because of maybe I made a mistake in the past or whatever reason. Like sometimes the family dynamics will just not allow. And then other times you have seniors that they're too proud. And so you have to try to talk them through that, you know, let's look at this short term. Let's not look at it as a long term. And if it, you know, if we have no other choice than to put a senior in a room, that breaks me because they lose all of their personal treasures, their quality of life, because it's not like they can have the family or friends over for dinner or watch TV or whatever. They have a room. That is it. So I always say, like, if that's our very last possibility, then let's not look at it as long-term. It's not long-term. It's just, it beats the other options.
What is the next steps as far as you're concerned in terms of some of the advocacy that you've been doing lately?
So I think next step is to, I would like, you know, to see somewhere that we can, even if it's temporary, to house the seniors that are facing evictions. I don't want to say, you know, so there is only one senior shelter, okay? I would like something that would cater more to our senior population because we're only going to see these numbers grow, okay? If they're lucky enough to have a car, we are going to see more of that. And the only senior shelter is, I think it's in Brampton or something. So I think, and just stopping, like, when people move out of units, and this is the problem, landlords will raise the rents anywhere from $300 to $1,000. You know, and if a senior doesn't have a good credit score or has no credit, because there's many seniors that don't have credit cards, and you know, or their partners, you know, and they're now widowed. So I would like to know that if I get that call from the senior, or I'm told they're living in a car, that I have a safe alternative place to house them temporarily. Not, you know, I don't want, it's not about long term, it's just keeping them safe.
Debbie Wood, I appreciate so much that you've talked to me today.
Thank you.
That was Debbie Wood, an intensive housing support worker with the Help Center. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.